B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem. We're going to start from the very top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Chardol Sheloshu Me'erev Shabbos. It was the custom that they would take the ground, or they would take the mustard, the grounded mustard, and they would mix it, they would knead it with other ingredients, and that's the way they would serve it. So we learned that if the mustard was kneaded from before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, Lamochor, then on Shabbos, Omar Rav, Rav says, Memachoy, you're allowed to soak it, and they would soak it either with water or with wine, but Bekli Avaloy Beyad, it has to be done with some type of a shinui, some type of a deviation from the way you would do it regularly, and therefore they would soak it using a kli, using some utensil. They would not soak it using their hands, because when one would soak it and they would use their hands to do that, then it would get soaked much better, and we don't want that, and we want it to be a deviation from the rest of the from the way you do it the rest of the week, and therefore you have to do the soaking, you're only allowed to do the soaking with a kli. Omar li Shmuel. Shmuel argued with Rav, and Rav said, Beyad Otu kol yoyim memachulei biyad. It's when you say that you're allowed to do it with the kli and not with the hands, it's as if to say that during the week you always soak and deal with the mustard with your hands. Meichel chamoyrim hu? Is this mustard food of a donkey that you prepare it just using your bare hands? During the week you always use a kli. Elom Rashmuel, Shmuel argues with Rav and says, memachu biyad, if you're doing it on Shabbos, then you're allowed to soak it with your hands. You can mix the water, you can put the water or the wine in with your hands, but not with a kli. You have to deviate and do it differently from the way you do it the whole week. Itmar, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, echod ze ve'echod ze osur. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're not allowed to do the memache, to soak it on Shabbos, not using your hands and not using a kli. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Echod ze ve'echod ze mutar. Rabbi Yochanan says that one is allowed to do the memache, you're allowed to soak it using your hands or a kli. Abaye v'Rava d'omer tarvayu. Abaye and Rava both said, ein halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan that it's mutar, rather the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer that holds that it's osa to do it b'yad or b'kli. At some point, kom Rabbi Yochanan b'shitosid Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, and instead of saying zeh v'zeh mutar, he said zeh v'zeh osur. And kom Rabbi Eliezer b'shitosid Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer took on the opinion of Shmuel, that Shmuel said memachui b'yad, ve'enu memachui b'kli. And at that point, Abaye v'Rava d'omer tarvayu, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, he said the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that after he changed, it's zeh v'zeh osur. And the Mepharshim explain that why was Abaye v'Rava insistent on saying it was osur, and it didn't matter if it was Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Eliezer, whoever said it was osur, that's who they ruled like. Continues the Gemara, Eima da'abaya ovdelei v'lo ochel. The mother of Abaya, and as we've seen a number of times, it wasn't actually his mother, it was the nurse or the person, the mother, the woman that looked after him, of the levelo ochel. She prepared for him the mustard that was needed before Shabbos, and she prepared it, she soaked it and mixed the other ingredients on Shabbos, v'lo ochel, and Abaya didn't want to eat from it. The bisu zeira of the le l'ravchia bar ashi v'lo ochel. And we've had this once before in Maseches Shabbos, and we saw Rabbeinu Nissim Goen on Daf Kuftes Amud Aleph explain that what happened was that this woman was married to somebody called Ze'iri. When Ze'iri passed away, then she married a Talmud of Ze'iri called Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. And this, she was still called the Bisu de Ze'iri, the wife of Ze'iri. Formerly, she was the wife of Ze'iri. And she prepared this mustard for her second husband, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. V'lo ochel, and he didn't eat. Omro lei, his wife said to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, L'rabcho, Ze'iri, my first husband, who was your Rebbe, of delay, v'ochel, I would prepare this for him, and he would eat it. V'at lo ochlis, and you're not eating it? Omar Rava bar Shva, Hava ko imno kamei de Ravina. Rava says that I was standing in front of Ravina, Ubochashilei, and I stirred for him Beshufsa de Tuma, using a center stalk of the garlic, which is a type of a deviation in the way that he would stir the ingredients, he would stir and soak the mustard seeds with the wine or the water. Va'ochal, and since I did some minimal type of deviation, it was okay, and he would eat it. Omar Marzutra, les hilchase kechol hanishmaitse. Marzutra says that Locha does not follow these stories that we just mentioned. Eloki hode itmar. The halacha goes as follows. Chardul sheloshu me'erev Shabbos. As long as the mustard was needed before Shabbos, lemochar on Shabbos, memochu bein beyad bein bekli, one's allowed to soak it and mix the wine and the water with your hands or with a kli. V'noisin letoichoi dvash, you can add into it honey. V'lo yitreif, but you shouldn't beat it as you would otherwise. Elo ma'ariv, you should just stir it, and then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So that's as far as the sugya goes with the mustard. And now we're moving on to a sugya called shachalaim. Shachalaim, or also called tochli, as we'll see, and it's a type of a grass. Some say it's cress, but we're just going to call it shachalaim because we don't really know exactly what they are. So the Gemara says, shachalaim sheshchokon me'erev Shabbos. They were chopped up before Shabbos. You're not allowed to chop anything into very small, fine pieces on Shabbos. It was chopped up before Shabbos. Lemochar, the next day, which is Shabbos, noisin letoichon shemen v'chometz, you're allowed to put into it oil and vinegar. Umamshich letoichon, and you're allowed to add into this amiso. We'll soon see what amiso is. We're allowed to add this as well. V'lo yitreif, you should do it with some form of deviation from the way you do it the rest of the week. You shouldn't beat it very hard. Elom arev, you should just mix the ingredients together. Shum sheriskoi, garlic that was ground me'erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to grind on Shabbos, it was ground before Shabbos. Lamochar on Shabbos, noisin letoicho, you're allowed to add into it pul, which is a type of a bean, or grisin, or split beans. You shouldn't pound all these ingredients together. You should just mix them lightly, and you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And now the Gemara says that when we were discussing the shachalayim, umamshich es amiso l'toichon, you said you're allowed to add into this shachalayim, you're allowed to add in amiso. What is that? My amiso, says the Gemara, ninyo. Rashi says ninyo is minto. Maybe it means mint. Omar Abaya, Shma mino hai ninyo ma'alya letochli. You can see from here, from the fact that they allowed you to put this amiso, which is ninyo, into the shachalayim, which is also called tochli, you see that this ninyo is good for this tochli dish. Continues the Gemara. Va'oisin anumolin b'shabbos. We saw in the Mishnah that one is allowed to make anumolin, prepare anumolin on Shabbos. Vayisin anumolin b'Shabbos and dafkuf lamed tes amud beis. And Rabbi Yehuda says that b'Shabbos b'kois b'yom tov b'login or b'moed b'chovis. Rabbi Yehuda says you're only allowed to make a very little bit on Shabbos, just a cupful. On yom tov, you can make a little bit more, and on moed, which is chol moed, you can make even more. And the Chachomim and Reb Tzadik says in the Mishnah, Hakel lefi ha'orchin, it all depends on how much you need. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, we learnt in a Braisa, Oisin anumoilin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to make anumoilin b'Shabbos, like we saw in the Mishnah. Ve'ein oisin aluntis. However, aluntis, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, and aluntis was often not made just purely as a drink. It was made in order to cool a person down after him becoming very hot in the bathhouse. And they're similar to refuah, for curing, and to do things. For refuah, you're not allowed to make refuah on Shabbos. Any medicine you're not allowed to make. We've seen a number of times the Chachomim made a gezeira that if you're going to allow a person to prepare something that's used as a cure, he may come to grind the ingredients that typical medication needs, and that's seriously also on Shabbos. So this aluntis, which is drunk for refuah, you're not allowed to prepare it on Shabbos. Ve'ezuhi anumoylin. What is this anumoylin that you are allowed to make on Shabbos? Ve'ezuhi aluntis. And what is aluntis that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos? So the Brice explains, anumoylin is yayin, wine, udvash with honey, or pilpilin and pepper. Aluntis, what is aluntis? Yayin yoshon, which is an aged wine, umayim tzlulin, and mixed with clear water, the afarasumoin, and some type of an oil called afarasumoin, de ovdi lebei masuta lemeikar. They would prepare it in for the bathhouse, lemeikar, to cool a person down when coming out of a very hot bathhouse. Omar of Yosef, zimna choda, one time, olis bosor marukva lebei boni. I went into the bathhouse behind or after marukva. Kinofki, when I came out, asoi, he brought me ashkion to drink, chamra, wine, chad kosa, one cup, v'choshi, and I felt the cooling effect of it, mi binsa deroshi, from the hair on my head, v'ad tufra dekari, all the way down to the toenails of my feet, to the nails of my feet, v'yashakion kosach rinna, and had I drunk another cup of this, havoi Mr. Finna, I was nervous, I was afraid, Dilma menakuli mizchusa, maybe they're going to deduct from my merits the alma da'asi in the world to come, because it would have had such a cooling effect, it would have actually been dangerous, and to survive that I would have needed a type of a miracle, and when a person has a miracle done for them, then it can take away from his merit, as we've seen in Maseches Shabbos. V'homar ukva, deshosi kol yoima. The Gemara asks, why are you saying that it was dangerous to have a second cup of wine? Mar ukva, he would drink every single day a cup of this aluntis, and it didn't seem to harm him. Says the Gemara, shani mar ukva, dedoshbe, mar ukva was different because he was accustomed to it, and therefore it did not harm him. Continues the next Mishnah. Ein shayrin es achiltis, one is not allowed to soak the chiltis, but poishrin in warm water. And also this chiltis that was typically soaked in warm water, they would drink it for a refuah, to help them as some type of a cure. Aval noisin l'toich achoymetz, you're allowed to put this chiltis into some vinegar and then dip your bread into this chiltis, which is soaked in vinegar, and that way, whatever effects you'll have, whatever therapeutic effects it will have, it's okay because that's a normal way of eating it. But to soak it in this warm water, which was done for a refuah, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Another halacha, ve'ein shoylin es hakarshinin. The karshinin, the way that they would separate the good part, the oichel, from the psoiles, from the chaff, or whatever else they didn't want together with the karshinin, they would soak it, they would fill it up with water, a bowl with these karshinin would fill with water, and then it would cause either the good part or the bad part, it would cause it to float, and that way what you're doing, you're actually separating the oichel from the psoiles using the water. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos because Boirer is also on Shabbos. V'loy shofin oison, you're not allowed to rub these kreishin and that way separate the food part from the chaff part, which is also Boirer, it's a type of separation. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Aval noisin l'teicha kavora, oy l'teicha kalkola, you're allowed to just put them, store them in a sieve or in a basket that has some holes at the bottom, even though inevitably some of it will get sorted and some of the bits will fall out, but since it doesn't have to happen, it's obviously not inevitable, it just could happen, and therefore, and you don't need it to happen, you don't want it to happen, you don't intend it to happen, and therefore it's mutter. Continues the Mishnah, Ein kivrin es ateven bekavora, you're not allowed to sift the straw with a sieve, v'lo itnenu al gabe mokim gavoya, and you're not allowed to sift it on Shabbos, and if you have some of the straw in a sieve, you're not allowed to place it in a high place on Shabbos, b'shul shayirid hamoitz, in order that the chaff should fall down, or the wind will blow over it and cause the chaff to fall down. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Again, you're not allowed to sift and sort on Shabbos. Aval noitel es hakavora, v'noisen etoich ha'evus, noitel hu b'chabora, v'noisen etoich ha'evus, you're allowed to use a sieve just to scoop up some of this straw, but using a sieve and then putting the straw into the trough of the animals, that you're allowed to do, even though in transit a little bit of the chaff will fall out. It doesn't have to happen, you don't need it to happen, you don't want it to happen, and therefore you're allowed to transport the straw using a sieve. Says the Gemara Iboiluhu. Shoro, mai, we saw in the Mishnah, ein shoirin es achiltis v'poishrin. You're not allowed to soak the chiltis with warm water. So the Gemara says, and if you did, mai, how serious is it? Tirgamur of Adar Narsha, Kamed Rav Yosef, Rav Adar Narsha said in front of Rav Yosef, he explained that Shara, if you soaked it, Chayev Chatos, you actually Chayev Chatos. It's a very serious melacha min HaTorah. Omale Abaye, Abaye said that can't be. Elo Me'ato Shara Umtze B'maya, you're going to soak some raw meat in water. Hochanami Demachayev, you're also going to say it's Chayev? Of course not. And as simple it is, and as commonly accepted it is that soaking raw meat in water is not chiyuv chatos on Shabbos, so too soaking this chiltis in warm water is not a melacha on Shabbos. Elom Abaye argued with Rav Adar Narsha, and he said it's only osur midrabonon. It's an Issa Derabonon called Uvda Dechoil. It's a type of very weekday type of activity and should be avoided on Shabbos. And the Mefarashim here discuss that, as we explained before, and it's actually from Rashi, Rashi says that the reason that Ein Shoyer Nesachiltis Bepoishrin is actually because of Refuah. And here the Gemara says Uvda Dechoil, and it's a discussion in the Mefarashim and the Poiskim. Continues the Gemara. Boy Mine Rabbi Yochanan Mir Bianai. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Mahu lishrois es achiltis betzoinon. You'll notice that in the Mishnah it said that you're not allowed to soak the chiltis in poishrim, that's in warm water or hot water. But in cold water, the Mishnah doesn't say very much about that. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was actually his Rebbe. And he asked Rabbi Yochanan, are you allowed to soak the chiltis on Shabbos in cold water? And according to the reason of Uvda Dechoil, maybe in the weekdays they wouldn't do it with cold water, and therefore it should be mutter. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan said, Osur, you're not allowed to. So Rabbi Yochanan answered back to Rabbi Yochanan, V'hanantanan ein shayrin es achiltis b'poishrin. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to soak the chiltis in warm water. Ha b'tzoinon mutter. We can deduce from there that in cold water it is allowed. Omale Rabbi Yochanan answered him a very interesting comment. Im kein ma bein li veloch. You asked me a question. I'm your Rebbe, and I gave you an answer. You're asking me a question from a Mishnah. Are you assuming that I know how to learn Mishnayos like you know how to learn Mishnayos? So what makes me the Rebbe and you the Talmud? Masnisen yechidahi. Rabbi Yochanan explained to him, I know what it says in the Mishnah. The reason that we don't rule like what we can deduce from the Mishnah is because the Mishnah is following the opinion of a yechidah, of a single person, and there's actually a braisa that says that there's a chachomim who argued with that. The Tanya, ein shoyrin es achiltis loy bechanimin v'loy betzoinon. The Tanakam in the braisa, the chachomim in the braisa say you're not allowed to soak the chiltis not in cold water and not in warm water. Rabbi Yosi oimer bechamin osur betzoinon mutter. It's only Rabbi Yosi who says that with cold water it's mutter and with hot water it's osur. And our Mishnah, you can deduce from our Mishnah the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, but we don't rule like that, says Rabbi Yochanan. The chachomim argue. Asks the Gemara Lamai of Dilei, what was this chiltis soaked in warm water? What was that good for? What did it cure? Says the Gemara Leyukra Deliba, a heaviness that was felt in the heart. When a person would feel this heaviness, he would drink this chiltis soaked in the water, and then it would cure him. Rav Acha Bar Yosef Chosh Beyukra Deliba. Rav Acha Bar Yosef, he felt this heaviness in his heart. Also Lekamed Mar Ukva. He came to in front of Mar Ukva. Omar Le, Rav Mar Ukva told him, Zil Shsi Tlosa Tikli Chilsa. Drink the weight of 3 gold coins of a dinner over 3 days. Of this Chilsa, Betlosa Yoma, over 3 days. Ozal Ishti. So this Rav Acha Bar Yosef, he went and he drank this water of the chiltis on Thursday, ishti b'chamisha, b'shabbos on Thursday, umay l'shabbos and on Friday, and the tzafra, and in the morning, on Shabbos morning, it was the third day, and he was supposed to drink this because he had this heaviness in his heart. And obviously the heaviness in his heart in its own right is not sakonos nefoshes, it's not pikuach nefesh, it's not actually dangerous, because then you'd be allowed to do anything to save him. But it's something which is a type of an illness, a weakness, and they would take this chiltis. And now that it's not pikuach nefesh, I took it on Thursday and Friday. You told me, Yumar Ukva said I should drink it for three consecutive days. Now it's Shabbos. Am I allowed to drink it on Shabbos? Ozel Shoel b'Midrashe came to the Beis HaMedrash to ask if he's allowed to drink it on Shabbos. Omru le, tonu debay Rav Ada. The Omru le, tonu debay Marba Rav Ada. They told him, Odom, you want to know if you can drink it? You can drink even a large amount of this. Kav or two kav. There's no problem with drinking this on Shabbos. And it seems that even healthy people would sometimes drink this. Omaluhu. So he said to them, I had no question about drinking it. I know that I'm allowed to drink it. Because even if I don't need it for a cure, it's often drunk just regularly. Ki komi boyeli lishrois mai. My question was, am I allowed to soak it? Am I allowed to prepare it? The Mishnah says, ein shayrin es achiltis bepoishrin. The question is, am I allowed to prepare it? Omaluhu Rabchia bar Ovin. Rabchia bar Ovin told him, bedidi hava uvda. A similar incident happened to me. Va'asoi she'il tailor of Adabar Ava. And I asked of Adabar Ava what to do. V'lehava biyode, and he didn't know how to answer me. I asked Rav Huna what to do. V'omar, he said, do it with a deviation. Soak it in cold water, and then it needs to be warmed up a little bit. Leave it in the sun for the sun to warm it up. And there's a whole discussion here. Why should it be different drinking it from preparing it? If you're allowed to drink it because there's no issue with refuah, because people just drink it normally, why should you not be able to prepare it for the same token? And that's a discussion in the Mefarshim here. Asks the Gemara, this that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that you should soak this chiltis in cold water and then warm it up, command the shori, is it following Rabbi Yossi's opinion that we saw before? Rabbi Yossi actually holds that it's always mutter to soak it in cold water, it's only ever osser to soak it in warm or hot water, or no? Could it be that it even follows the Chachomim that we saw before that say that, that strictly speaking, one's not allowed to soak the chiltis not in hot water and not in cold water? Says the Gemara, filu leman da'osar, even according to the Tanakama, who say that even in cold water you're not allowed to soak on Shabbos, here it's different. Hanemili heicha deloy ishti klal, somebody who hadn't started taking this chiltis at all. For him, he's not in danger. Don't soak it on Shabbos, even in cold water. Aval hacha, in this case, kiven de ishti, since he's already drunk this, chamisha umay leShabbosa, on Thursday and Friday, iloy shosi b'Shabbos, if he's going to stop in the middle, he's going to have some reaction, and mistaken, it could actually be dangerous, and therefore, for him, he's allowed to do whatever it takes. Obviously, if you can do it with cold water, and then just warm it up in the sun, it's better. Do as less. The more you can deviate, the better. But obviously, because it's dangerous, if you cannot do it in cold water, of course you can soak it in warm or hot water and do what it takes to stay safe. Continues the Gemara. Mistamech v'ozil, Rav Acha bar Yosef was an elderly person, was leaning and was walking a kisved of Nachman bar Yitzchok, on the shoulders of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok bar Ochsei, that who was his nephew, the son of his sister. Omar Le, so Rav Acha bar Yosef said to his nephew, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Kimotinon lebeir of Safra, when we reach the home of Rav Safra, Ailina, I'm an old person, help me to go up into Rav Safra's house. I've got something to ask him. Kimotu, when they arrived at Rav Safra's home, Aile, then Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok helped Rav Acha bar Yosef go up into Rav Safra, and it seems that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok didn't go in with him. We'll soon see how I know that. Boy mine, Rav Acha bar Yosef, he asked Rav Safra the following question: Mahu lechischusei kisnisa b'shabsa? What's the halacha? Is one allowed to rub a freshly laundered linen shirt on Shabbos? And there are two advantages of doing this. Number one, when a linen shirt is laundered, is cleaned, it gets stiffened a little bit and it's not so comfortable to wear. And in order to be comfortable, they would rub it to soften it. And also when they would whiten it, when they would clean it, then when they would rub it afterwards, it would help the whitening effect. It would look shinier and cleaner. The question is, are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? And the question goes as follows. Lirukuchei kisne komechavin, is his intention just to soften the linen shirt, the shaper domi, and it's mutter, there's nothing wrong with that. Oidilma, no, maybe his intention is lo'iludei chivra komechavin, in order to help the whitening process, the cleaning process, and that's called melabin. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Va'osir. Omalei, so Rav Safra told Rav Acher bar Yosef, lirukuchei komechavin, a person intends just to soften it, v'shaper domi, and it's mutter to do that on Shabbos. Kinofik, when Rav Acher bar Yosef came out, Omar Le, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok asked Rav Acher, my boy Amar Minei, I wasn't in there with you. What did you ask Rav Safra? Omar Le said to him, boy Minei, ma'ul sichsuchei kisnasa b'shabsa, am I allowed to soften, am I allowed to rub a freshly laundered linen shirt on Shabbos? V'omer Yishaper Domi, Rav Safra told me it was okay. V'tiboy le lemar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said to his uncle, Rav Acher bar Yosef, why did you not ask Rav Safra sudra, whether one is allowed to rub and soften a linen kerchief? Sudra leikami boyli. Sudra, I didn't ask him why. The boy Amir Rav Huna, I once asked Rav Huna whether you're allowed to rub and soften a kerchief, uposhetli, and he told me that the halacha is that it's also, you're not allowed to. So he asked him, "Mutivshet leilamar misudra, why could you not understand on your own that if Rav Huna told you that you're not allowed to rub a kerchief, why didn't you not learn from there that a kisnisa, linen shirt, you're also not allowed to rub?" Omalei, so Rav Acher bar Yosef told Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, no. Hosom merza ki eilude chivra. In the case of the linen kerchief, a person is much more particular to make sure that it looks clean and shiny. And therefore, I can understand that Rav Huna said, you're not allowed to do that because your intention is to complete or continue the whitening process, and that's also on Shabbos. Hocha, but in the case of a typical linen shirt, a person is not so makbid, and it doesn't look like he's intending or wanting to whiten the garment, the shirt, and therefore I thought maybe it will be mutter. Therefore I asked Rav Safra, and Rav Safra indeed said it was mutter. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Hai kisnisa, this linen shirt, Meshalfu ledido mikanyo shori. Today we have a concept called hangers. We would hang up a shirt in order for it to dry. Back in the days, they were not so sophisticated. They would just take any old wooden stick and put it through the sleeves and just hang it up that way. And then when they were finished with it, they would just pull out the rod and put it into the fireplace and burn it. So if you've got one of these shirts that are hanging up on this rod, on this kanya on Shabbos, since the rod itself is mukta, you should avoid moving the rod directly. So you should pull the shirt, meshalfu lididoh, you should remove the shirt from the rod, and that's muta. Kanya mimeno osur, but you should not remove the rod from the shirt because it's mukta, since it's slated for firewood, and therefore you're not allowed to move it, and you should not move it directly. Omar Rava, v'im kli kiyuihu, if this rod is not just a typical piece of wood that would have been used for firewood, rather it's one of the weaver's rods, then muta, you're allowed to even remove the rod from the shirt. You don't have to remove the shirt from the rod. And Rashi says on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph that this rod is actually a kli shemelachto leheter, and therefore there's no muktzah whatsoever. Tosfos on Daf Kuf Chof Beis Amud Beis says it's a kli shemelachto leisa, and then we have to understand what's going on here. But either way, Rava says that if it's one of these kli kiyui, where it's not just a rod, which is muktzah machmas gufoi, a much more stringent type of muktzah, you're not allowed to move it at all. It's either a kli, it's definitely a kli, it's either kli shemalachte leheter or a kli shemalachte leisa, but it's a kli. And since you need to remove this rod from the shirt in order to be able to wear the shirt, you're allowed to take the rod out of the shirt. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Chizda, hai kishsa de yarka, a bunch of vegetables, herbs, ichazya lemeichel behema, if it's fit to be eaten for animals, for animal food, shari letiltule, it's already significant enough that it's not mukta, and you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Ve'iloi, but if it's not even fit for an animal to eat it, osir, then it's mukta, you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. Omer of Chia bar Ashi, Omer Rav, hai talya de bisra, a string of salted animal meat. Shari, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos because it's edible, you can eat it, therefore it's not mukta. Shari little tula, you're allowed to move it. De kavri, however, if it's a string of raw fish, then osir, since it's not edible, therefore it's osir, it's mukta on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Katina. Ha'oimed be'emtza ha'mita, if a person stands in the middle of a bed or between the beds that a husband and wife typically would share, ke'ilu oimed be'kreisa shel isha, it's as if you're standing on or by the stomach of a woman, and Rashi explains that doing that could cause a person to have inappropriate thoughts, and therefore it should be avoided. V'lav milsi, the Gemara says that it's not a problem. And the Sforim do bring that one should avoid looking or seeing a bed which typically a husband and wife would sleep on. And the question is, if these words, v'lav milsihi, exactly what did all the versions of the Gemara have it? And even if they did have it, it could be that it's not a halachic issue, or it's not such a serious issue, but is an issue that the Sforim speak about. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Chizda, now we're going to see a number of I wouldn't call them halachas, but customs and ideas that Rav Chizda was giving. Many of them are addressed to Bar Beirav, which is a young Torah scholar, a Talmud Chacham. And some of them are addressing people who are less wealthy, and obviously it could be that because Talmidei Chachomim typically are sitting in the Beis Medrash and not making money, they are the ones that would have less financial needs than others, less financial means than others, and therefore Rav Chizda was giving them some advice. Bar Beirav Dezovin Yarka. If this Bar Beirav wants to buy vegetables or wants to buy herbs, Lizvin Aricha, he should buy long ones. Why? Kisha Kikisha. Because one bunch is the same as every other bunch. That means the bunches were sold according to their width. They would have a string that would tie around the bunches, and however wide the bunches were, it was grouped in that way, and that's what it cost. V'urcha memela, the fact that on some of them, some of the herbs or vegetables were longer and others were shorter, that did not increase the price. So he told them, if you're buying a certain size bundle, look for the longer ones because you're not paying extra to get the extra length. V'omer of Chizda, Bar Beirav de Zovin Kanya, if this Bar Beirav wants to buy reeds, Lizvin Aricha, he should buy the long ones. For the same reason, Tuna Kituna, because one bundle is the same as another bundle. The price, as long as it's the same width, the same circumference of the bundle, it's the same price. V'urcha memela, and then for the same price, you get the extra length, so you can gain that way. V'omer of Chizda, Bar Beirav de Loi Nofish Leirifta, if he doesn't have a lot of bread available, Loi Leichel Yarka, he shouldn't eat these vegetables or herbs, Mishum de Gorir, because it will whet his appetite and he'll want to eat more, and he will not have enough bread to satisfy his appetite. V'omer of Chizda, and no, I myself, loy ba'an yusi, at first when I was poor, ochli yarka, I didn't used to eat these vegetables. V'loy ba'atirusi, and even when I became wealthy, ochli yarka, I wouldn't eat the vegetables then either. Ba'an yusi, why would I not eat them when I was less financially able, mishum de gorir, as we said, it would whet my appetite and I wouldn't have with what to to fill myself up on. But atirusi, when I was more wealthy, I also didn't eat it, even though I could afford to eat as much as I wanted. Da'amin, I said to myself, heicha da'ayil yarka, instead of filling up my stomach with this yerek, le'il bisra v'kavra, I may as well fill it up with meat and fish. V'omar of chizda, barbi rav, this Talmud Chacham, if he doesn't have an ample amount, a large amount, enough to be satisfied on of bread, he shouldn't just eat a little bit, nush on a little bit of bread, which will not satisfy him, and then a few hours later he gets a bit more bread, he'll eat a bit more. He shouldn't do that. He should wait until he has a sizable amount, and then have a proper meal that will satisfy him. V'omer of Chizda, bar b'rav d'loy nefisha le'rifta, a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have a lot of bread available, loy livtza, he shouldn't be the one to volunteer, or he shouldn't accept the job of being the one to make the bracha, to be moitzi everyone, and to be the one to divide the bread for everyone. My tama d'loy ovid ba'ayin yofa, since he himself is lacking somewhat, it will be hard for him to generously distribute the bread, and therefore he shouldn't be the one to divide the bread between all the people who are sharing the meal. V'omer of Chizda, ano meikora, I myself, at first, when I was poor, loy havoy botsano, I wouldn't divide a piece of bread, I wouldn't start a meal ad shadoi yode bekule mona, until I would cast my hand, until I would check and examine the whole mona, the whole basket, va'ashkecha be kol tzorki, just to make sure there was enough there to satisfy me, and then I would sit down and have a meal. V'omer of Chizda, hay man de efshele lemeichal naima de sairi, if somebody is able to eat bread made of barley flour, and instead of that he eats the bread, which is much more expensive, it's from the wheat flour, then he's transgressed bal tashchis. The Torah says you're not allowed to waste, you're not allowed to destroy and demolish. The Torah itself is talking about an eitz pri, a fruit tree. An extension to that is that you shouldn't waste. And we're obviously talking here about a poor person that cannot really afford it, because we said before, a rich person, even though he could eat vegetables, he's not going to do that because he can eat fish and meat. But here we're talking about a person that cannot afford it. If you can't afford it, don't waste money you haven't got. Rather eat bread of barley than bread of wheat. V'omer of Papa, Hayman de Efshar Lemishti Shichra Vashosi Chamra, Over Mishum Baltashkis of Papa, on similar lines, he says that a person can suffice with drinking beer, and he drinks wine, which is more expensive. He also has transgressed bal tashchis. V'lav milsi, says the Gemara, it's not a problem. You're allowed to do that bal tashchis to gufa odif, rather than worrying about spending a few extra coins on food that you could have avoided. You should view it as if you've invested in not wasting away your body, bal tashchis to gufa odif. And therefore, since it's better for the body to drink wine, it's better for a person to have flour of wheat than of barley, therefore that's what he should do. Continues the Gemara of Omer of Chizda, Bar Be'rav de Lesle Moshcha. This Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have oil available, and they used to, before they would wash Mayim Achreinim, they would clean their hands with oil to remove any, whatever the dirt they had on their hands. Nimshi b'mayo d'charitzi, should wash his hands with the stagnant water that collects in the pits, and there's green on it, and very much got an oily type of texture. So you could use that stagnant water in order to clean your hands before doing mayim achreinim. V'omer of Chizda, bar b'rav d'zovin umtza. If this Talmud Chacham is buying meat, and he cannot afford to buy lots of expensive meat, then lizvin unka, he should buy the neck of the animal. The isle tlosa mina bisra, it has the taste, the neck is made up of three different types of textures and tastes, and therefore instead of buying different types of meats that he can't afford, buy the neck. It has soft meat, it has harder meat, it has the sinews, the giddin, and then that way you'll have the taste of the different types of meat without having to buy all those types of meat. V'omer of Chizda, bar be'rav de zovin kitunisa, If this Talmud Chacham is buying a linen garment, Lizvan Midanahar, he should buy a very nice garment, a high quality garment from the place of Midanahar Abba. Lizvan Midanahar Abba, he should buy it from a place called Nahar Abba. V'nechavre, and he should clean it, he should wash it, kol klosin yoimin, every 30 days. It will meet his needs, it will stay okay and wearable for at least 12 months. Rav Chisda says, I'll be a guarantor to that, that if you buy this quality garment from this place and you wash it every month, it will last you for at least a year. Asks the Gemara, my kitunisa, why are these linen garments, these linen shirts, why are they called kitunisa? And we already saw in the Gemara previously, on the Ein Zayin Amud Beis, that the Gemara explains lots of different things, why they're called the way they're called. This one is not mentioned there. But the Gemara says here, why is it called Kitunisa? Says the Gemara, because it makes up the two words, Kita, no. That anybody who's wearing it, he's worthy of being sat and positioned together with a very refined and and with fine people. Continues the Gemara of Omer of Chizda. Barbe Rav Loilesev Atzifsa Chaduta. Somebody who's a Talmud Chacham who hasn't got money to throw away to constantly buy new clothes, he should avoid sitting on a new type of mat called Tzifsa. The Mechalya Money, because this type of mat, when it's new, it ruins the clothes. V'omer of Chizda. Barbe Rav Loilishdar Money, should not send his clothes to be cleaned. Le'ushpizei, to his hostess, if he's staying in somebody's house, should not give his clothes to be washed by his hostess, lechivrele, to wash them for him. Delav oirech ara, it's not proper to do that. Why? Dilma chozibe midi, maybe this hostess is going to see some stains. Rashi says here that it's stains of keri. Va'osi lemigne, and it will come that he will be repulsed to this hostess. And the Maral says that it's the duty of every Talmud Chacham to make sure that the people around him respect him for his Torah and don't have reason to be repulsed by him. Continues the Gemara, Omalu Rav Chisda Lubonse. Rav Chisda said to his daughters, and these daughters were married to Gedoyle Hador, Tehave Tzni'oson B'Ape Gevraichu, make sure that you are always modest in front of your husbands. You should not eat bread in front of your husbands. Rashi says sometimes you'll eat a lot and it will repulse them. It will be tizgane olov. You should not eat yarka, which is herbs or vegetables, at night, because it causes a foul smell from the mouth. You should not eat dates at night. V'loy tishtun shichro balaylo, nor should you drink beer by night. And Rashi explains it causes constipation, it causes a person to have gas and not nice smells, and that could be repulsive to the husbands. V'loy tifnun hecha de mafni givraichu, and they should not relieve themselves in front of their husbands or in a place that their husbands know where they've relieved themselves, because at some point it will repulse the husbands. V'chikokori abovi, he told his daughters, kikokori abova inish, when a person will knock on your door, loitemron, you shouldn't say manu, which is as if to say mi hu. In Loshna Kodesh, there's a difference between masculine and feminine terms, and manu is like to say who's there, referring to a male. Elomani should say mani mi hi, as if you're talking to a woman. And Rashi says lo targilu lashonchem ledaber im zchorim. He told his daughters, make sure to get used to only speaking to women. You should not converse with men too much. And he told them something else. Nokit marganisa b'chode yode. And he was giving them an amazing message. He says, when you're holding a pearl, a precious stone, in one hand, and a vazara b'chode yode, and a very invaluable stone in the other hand, then marganisa achvele, then if you would show your husband, you can show your husband the precious stone, show him the pearl. Vakura, or as we said, vazura loy achvele, But you should not show them, that means the second hand, keep it closed, not to show him what's in it. Ad mitzdaron, until they're going to get very tormented in curiosity, what have you got in your hand? V'hod achvele, and then show it to him. And Rabbeinu Chananel says that the very fact that he was yearning and wanting to see what was in the other hand means that even though you're going to show it to him and it's not going to be as valuable as what was exposed to him first, the fact that he cherished to see what was in his hand, that is going to make whatever you had in there, that less valuable stone, is going to make it dear in his eyes. And the Meiri adds in that he was giving them a message: be modest. The more modest you are, your husbands will cherish you more. And he was giving them that message for life. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel and the Meiri explain this. And Rashi explains it a bit differently. Continues the Gemara. Ein shoylin esakarshinin v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to cause the good parts of these karashinim and the bad parts to get separated by floating them in water. Nor are you allowed to rub them hard in order to separate the food part from the part that you do not, the undesirable part. You're allowed to put it into a sieve or in a basket, etc. Says the Gemara. Masnisin deloy ki hai tana. This Mishnah that says that you're allowed to put it into a sieve is not following the ruling of the following Tana. D'tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, ein mashgichin bekavra kol ikka. You're not allowed to use a kavora, a sieve, bechlal on Shabbos for any reason, for anything. Not like it says in our Mishnah that you're allowed to use a kavora as long as you don't. It's not inevitable that it's sorting out, and as long as that's not your intention, you're allowed to use the sieve. And that's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says the next Mishnah. Goyrfin milifnei haptom. The ptom was typically an ox that they used to fatten up the oxes, and it was important they ate a lot. And in front of this ox, there was a lot of food, and naturally, there was animal fodder, there was excrement, and there was the leftovers of the food, and he wants to sweep it out. So it says, Goyrfin, you're allowed to sweep away the dirt, milifnei haptom, from in front of this ox. One halacha. A second halacha, umasalkin litzdodim, if you have lots and lots of animal food there, you're allowed to move it to the side, mipnei ra'i, in order to make sure that, because if it's all mixed in together, then his excrement is going to go on top of it, and then the animal won't eat it, and that's not good. So you're allowed to move aside the animal food to avoid it getting ruined and repulsed by the ra'i, by the excrement. Divir Reb Doisa, those were two halachas that Reb Doisa said. The Chachomim say that it's osa, and we'll see in the Gemara whether they said it was osa to sweep away the dirt, the first case, or whether it was osa to sweep away the food, the second case. We'll see in the Gemara. Another halacha, noitlin, one's allowed to take food milifnei behema zu, from one animal, v'noisne lifnei behema zu, and you're allowed to give it to another animal b'Shabbos, and don't say that it's not fit. Once it's already been given to one animal, another animal will not be able to eat it, and therefore you shouldn't do that because it's useless. No. The animals don't get repulsed by the fact that the food they have was already been in front of a different animal, and therefore you can move it from one animal to the next on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Iboiluhu, Rabbonon, the Chachomim who argued with Rav Doisa, Areisha Pligi, were they only arguing on the first halacha about moving away the dirt? And the reason that they would be arguing on the reason that they would be machmir in the reisha, Rashi says, is because sometimes this trough where the food was in was on the earth, was made out of the earth, or was in the earth, and he's going to intend to smoothen out and level out the grooves. He doesn't want any grooves in the ground because he doesn't want the food to get stuck in them. And you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So maybe in the Reisha, that's where the Chachomim argued. Oy aseifa pligi. Maybe they're only arguing on the second halacha. The second halacha is regarding moving away the animal food in order that it shouldn't get dirty. Maybe over there, the Chachomim say that the reason you're not allowed to move it away is because some of this food is already not fit anyway because of the excrement and other things that's going on there. And since it's not it's not edible anymore, it's not fit anymore, it's mukta, you're not allowed to move it. Or maybe they're arguing on both of the halachas of Rav Doisa. Says the Gemara Tal Shema, the Tanya in the Braisa, it says, V'chachomim oimrim, echod ze lo yisalkenu litzdodim, in both of the halachas, both regarding the moving away the rubbish, the excrement and everything else there, moving away the spoil, the Chachomim argue and say you're not allowed to, and moving away the food, they're also not allowed to. Omer Rav Chisda said, Machloikas, this Machloikas between Rav Doisa and the Chachomim was Ba'ivus Shel Karka, was only if it's a trough that was in the earth itself. And typically they would make a type of a wall in front of the animal, and behind the wall they would, on the floor, on the ground, they would put the animal food, and that would be their trough. There, that's where there's a Machloikas. Aval Ba'evus Shel Kli, if it's a trough which is actually utensil, Divrakil Mutter, everyone says it's okay to sweep away whatever's in this trough. Ve'evus shel karka, asks the Gemara, mi'ikele mandashori, if this trough is actually made in the earth, how can anyone say you're allowed to sweep it? Hokom mashvi gumois, you're evening out the crevices, the holes in the ground, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Eloi itmer hochi itmer. It's, we have to say it the other way around. Omer of Chizda, machleikas ba'evus shel kli. The whole machleikas is only in a trough that's made of a regular kli, and there's no issue of ash v'gumois. So Reb Doisa says that it's muta. The Chachom say it's also, just so you shouldn't get confused between this type of trough and the type of trough which is in the earth. Aval ba'evus shel karka, in the case where the trough is made of the earth, divrei hakel asur, everybody agrees, you're not allowed to sweep it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, v'noitlin milifnei behema, we saw in the Mishnah, you're allowed to take animal food that was in front of one animal, you're allowed to take it to another animal on Shabbos. Tonochoda. We have now two brises, and we have to try and understand how they do not contradict each other. In one brise, it said, Noitlin milifnei behemo shepiha yofa. You're allowed to take food from an animal who's got a fine mouth, v'noisnin lifnei behemo shepiha ra, and you're allowed to give it to an animal who has a poor mouth. V'tanya idoch, in another brise, it says the opposite. Noitlin milifnei behemo shepiha ra. You're allowed to take the food from an animal who's got a poor mouth, v'noisnin lifnei behemo shepiha yofa, and you're allowed to give it to an animal who's got a fine mouth. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, I'll make sense of this. Idi v'idi, both brises agree with the same halocha. What's the halocha? Mikame chamro, you're allowed to take food from in front of a donkey, lekame tura, and put v'shoklinon, and put it in front of an ox, a cow. Mikame tura, but food that was in front of an ox or a cow, lekame chamro, loishoklinon, you're not allowed to move it to and put it in front of a donkey. That means that's a halacha that both brises agreed to. And it just depends, is the donkey called a fine mouth, or is the donkey called a poor mouth? In one brise it calls the donkey a fine mouth and the ox a poor mouth. In another brise it calls the donkey a poor mouth and the ox a fine mouth. Why is that? Says the Gemara. The first brisa, diktoni noitel milifnei behema shepia yofa, taking from a donkey, you're allowed to take it from the donkey and put it in front of the ox. In that brisa, it calls the donkey a fine mouth. Why? Bechamoir delesle riri. A chamoir doesn't typically dribble and nothing comes out of his mouth onto the food. It doesn't repulse the food in any way. And therefore, you can then take that food and put it in front of an ox, and the ox will eat it. And noisnin if nebehemo shapihora, in that context, the ox, the cow, is called a poor mouth. Why? Is bepora de isle riri. Typically, a cow does dribble onto the food and makes the food repulsed. The Hodik Tonya and the second brisa, that noitlin milifnei behemo shapihora, over there is the same alocha. You're allowed to take it from the donkey and give it to the ox. Over there, the donkey is called a poor mouth. In a different context, b'chamoyer deloy doik v'ochil. A donkey does not discriminate before it eats. It'll eat anything, edible more, edible less, he'll eat it. So his mouth is called a poor mouth. V'noisnin, if nebehemo shapia yofa, you're allowed to put it in front of a cow or an ox, And there, which is the same halacha, but over there the ox and the cow are called a fine mouth, because a cow or an ox typically will discriminate. It will only eat something that it's worthy, that's clean, that's edible for it. It won't eat anything that it sees. And therefore, the halacha is the same, and there's no contradiction between the two brises. In the next shir, we're going to continue from here.